Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1 is a wonderful passage of Scripture as we are introduced through the Gospel of Mark to the Lord Jesus Christ in this first chapter. Mark is really, I would probably put it as being the condensed gospel. It is the shortest of the three gospels that we have. And while it is condensed, it is power-packed. And when you look at the first chapter in the book of Mark, Mark is compacting a year of Jesus' ministry life into this first chapter. There is much going on. There's much that is in place there. And I want you to notice a few verses, if you would, though, as we begin reading this morning in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, and in those days, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." I want you to look in verse number 15 as we see these words of Jesus. He says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Back in verse 14, the Bible tells us that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. As Jesus had prepared for his earthly ministry in these three special ways, we see that he was prepared spiritually, emotionally, and physically. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit of the work, as we saw in verse number 10, as the dove in the Holy Spirit descending upon him. We see that he was vocally approved of by the Father as Father in a loud voice from heaven saying, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And then we see, of course, as he fasted for 40 days, prepared himself physically for his ministry. And Jesus Christ certainly had a ministry. Can I tell you, there has not been a ministry on this earth that has compared or comes even close to making an impact the way that the personal ministry of Jesus Christ did as he was on this earth. We know that in the book of John, or in the book of Mark, rather, the primary mission of Jesus' coming to earth was in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. The Bible says that he was coming to lay down his life a ransom for many. He came to die. He came to do what only he could do. No one else could do what Jesus was getting ready to do. And he prepared himself for this. And on the way to the cross, Jesus, of course, filled his days with ministry. When we read the book of Mark here, we find many different stories and many different events. But again, his primary purpose was to give his life as a ransom for many. But his secondary purpose, and really probably even the first purpose before that, was that he might glorify the Father in all that he did. And certainly he did that. Of course, we are thrilled as we see the many amazing things that Jesus did. I love reading the Gospels, and I love the events as Jesus came and the multitude followed him, and as he said, how are we going to feed these people? And his disciples said, I don't know. Jesus said, well, does anybody have any food? And they found one boy that had five loaves and two fishes, and Jesus sat down that we know of, 5,000 men that didn't include women and children, and fed every one of them with five loaves and two fishes. That's amazing. And everyone, not only did he feed them with that, but everyone was filled. And not only that, but there were 12 baskets full of the food that remained. Amen. I mean, come on now. Jesus did some miracles. I think of blind Bartimaeus. As he's standing on the side of the road, blind for a long time. He said, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus healed him of his blindness. The lame man that they carried. As Jesus said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Take up thy bed and walk. The man that's never walked before stood up as strong as could be and walked. I love those. But you know, as we are thrilled through that, there is something more important than the miracles that Jesus performed, the ministry that he did, and that was the message that Jesus preached. The message that Jesus preached. His message, even though it was delivered a little over 2,000 years ago, it still remains to this day. The message, the ministry that Jesus performed, the message that he had. And I want to look as Jesus came in the form of a servant, in the form of a man. I want to take just a few moments this morning as we consider the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, even though it happened over 2,000 years ago, the message of Jesus Christ is more relevant than anything else that is taking place today. It is more relevant than any sporting event. It's more relevant than any news story. It's more relevant than any election process. It's more relevant than all of that because it's the message from God. Let's pray. As we get into this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you so very much that you sent your Son to this earth. God, if we were to sit down and think of a way that all these things could have happened, God, we can't even imagine a way. We might think that our way, as a matter of fact, we try. Man has tried every imaginable way to come to you, to get close to you. But Father, we know that it is only through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have any access to you. God, I pray as we examine this message from your Son today, that you would meet our needs accordingly. Help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice, number one this morning, the framework of this message. Jesus was working, and again, over a year is compacted into this first chapter. If we didn't have the book of John, we probably wouldn't even know what was taking place within. It's during those early years of Jesus' ministry that he even met Nicodemus as he came to him. It was in those early years that Jesus was traveling through Nazareth and met the woman at the well. It was in those early years during his journey as he went through that town in Samaria. In verse number 14 in this chapter here, the Bible tells us that John was cast into prison. And as Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, John, of course, was arrested because he dared preach the truth. As he preached the truth to those around him, he withstood Herod, the Roman appointed king. And when his wife, Herod's wife, who was at one time, asked, "What do you want?" She said, "I want the head of John the Baptist." And Herod got it for her. While we see this, we see before we leave the ministry of John the Baptist, we must be amazed by his own testimony. The testimony that John had was, of course, destined to fade away. As we go back and we see in the very beginning, in verse number 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee.' The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" You see, verse number 4 says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out with him unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, 'There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.'" You see, John knew and understood that Jesus was coming. He understood that his ministry was one of a preparation. You see, we have, even to this day, not a similar ministry to John, but we too can tell, and that we too can know, and we too can proclaim a message of salvation, knowing that there is one coming after us. One who truly we are unworthy to stoop down and loosen the latches of his shoes. Of course, it's the same one that came after John that's coming after us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a similar ministry to John. While we may not be out in the wilderness and we may not be wearing wild clothes and eating locusts and honey, but we have a message. And it is the same message that we could give to people, that they need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That message that we have is the message that John had. And we need to prepare a straight road and a straight way and a straight path, knowing that we're never alone, that God knows exactly where we're at. He has a plan for our life. Jesus had a message, though. As Jesus had this message that he said in verse number 6:15, he said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." We see Jesus preaching in verse number 14. Preaching! Now, preaching is simply a carrying out of the office of a herald. Heralding a message, giving a message. It was one that was to be heeded. It was one that was to be respected. When anyone was coming in preaching, giving a message from a king, it was, again, to be heeded. The king is speaking. Jesus didn't come with his own message. He came focusing upon what God gave him to say. It was a message that was about to change the world. I want you to notice just in verse number 15, as he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Simply, a simple definition of gospel is good news. This was definitely good news that Jesus had. This was not something that they had heard in either a long time, or maybe some of them had never even heard it at all. But Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." There's good news.
The kingdom is here. The kingdom is fulfilled. The Old Testament had taught through. The Old Testament had prophesied, and people could see and they could know that if they would just read and know what was there, eventually the Messiah was coming. Some were looking, some were not. It had been 400 years since they had heard from God. From the time of the book of Malachi, the closing of the Old Testament, to the time that John the Baptist came on the scene. 400 years had passed. You know, a lot can happen in 400 years. A lot can change, can't it? Think back 400 years in our history. Now, some of you are thinking, how can I think back 400 years? You have to go back to your history that you know, that you've been taught, that you've seen. Lots changed in 400 years. My goodness. Everything's gotten so much faster, hasn't it? 400 years. Some of you could, maybe you can just go back 50 years. And how much has changed in that time? How about this? How about in the last 30 years? Things have changed quite a bit. Just in technology. It's fun for me to go back and think back to my childhood and see the number of things that have changed. We get a little nostalgic from time to time, don't we, Rodon? Think back to a rotary telephone. You know, there's some people in this room that have never even seen one of those. Some of you can think back to, you know, how vehicles have changed. I mean, my goodness. Things have changed, and that's just technology kind of stuff. Have we changed religiously in the last 50 years, or maybe even 400 years, would you say? Oh, yeah, quite a bit. Some for the better, some for the worse, but there's a lot of change. There's a lot of change that was taking place here. So when Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's saying, good news, there's a change here. And this message, the focus of his message was there. He came preaching a message of hope to a people trapped in despair, to a people trapped in their religion, corrupt leadership. People were living lives and times, and there was no hope. Some may say we live in a time very similar to that. Hope in our world doesn't come from the Capitol building. It doesn't come from the White House. It doesn't come from, it doesn't even come necessarily from the church house in most cases. Comes from God. And I just tell you, our hope is not found in the church. Our hope is not found in religion. Our hope is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His message. Now, you find that hope in church, but it's only in one place. God said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It can be found in Matthew 11, where He said, come unto Me. Notice, He did not say, come unto the church. He didn't say, come unto the pastor, come unto the deacons, come unto the Sunday school. No, Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, do that. In John chapter 6, He said, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. He said, all that cometh I will in no wise cast out. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Where is our hope? Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. Today is the time. Believe the gospel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. That's Jesus' words. That's his message. Are you getting the picture here? Our hope and our peace and our foundation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The force of his ministry. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. He said, it's right here. Notice Jesus didn't say, the kingdom of God is coming. He said, it's fulfilled. It is today. It is here. It's not coming. He said, it's right here. The kingdom of God is at hand. They were face to face with the wonderful message of God. Today, the kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't think that I have another year or 2 years. We should boast not of what the future holds, for we don't know. Everything can change in a moment. Everything, anything can change with one phone call. Just one. Anything can change with one bit of news. It can change with one doctor visit. What are we going to do? We must believe the gospel. The fact that Jesus came, lived as a sinless man, gave his own life upon the cross of Calvary, was buried for 3 days, dead and gone for 3 days. And then as we sing that song, up from the grave he arose. You see, he didn't stay there. He victoriously defeated death and the grave. Man, that's like hallelujah shouting ground right there. You say, well, it's not Easter. We've already had that this year. My goodness, we only get excited about Jesus raised from the dead at Easter time? Come on now. Jesus rose from the dead around Easter time, but he's still not in the ground. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. We sing that song too. Believe the gospel. He had a message. He said, believe the gospel. It is to accept something that is true. Or as true. So I believe that. We believe a lot of things, don't we? We sometimes in our day and time will read something on the internet. And I know usually what we say is, you know, well, if you read it on the internet, it's true. Right, Zach? Absolutely. Where'd you hear that at? On the internet. And I told everybody Wednesday night, I said, you know, I'm given to skepticism. Rachel will sometimes read me a story and I'll just say, oh, where'd you hear that? I want some more sources on that. Well, I found it right here. You know, and I say this all the time, and I want to say it again, that just because we believe something doesn't make it true. It's true because it's true, not because I believe it. But our belief is something that is necessary when it comes to the gospel. You know, there are some things that people would say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. We do it all the time. But our belief or unbelief doesn't change the truth that is present. The truth. See, truth is always true And a lie is always a lie. Always. And so I don't believe that. Oh well. But Jesus preached the truth. The Bible is true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Romans chapter 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the message that Jesus was giving. That is the message of the gospel that we have, that we hold to, that we are to deliver. The message of Jesus was one of hope, was one of salvation. It's one that he delivered unto you through this book. He's given it to us. And he's given it to us to believe. Have you called upon his name? You see, all this week, this same message is going to be delivered. Boys, to girls, to teenagers, even maybe even to some moms and dads. You see, this is the message that again gives hope. This is the message that when received gives peace. This is the message that changes lives. I trust that one day it changed your life. If not, today could be the day. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. Let it be today if it hasn't changed your life before now. You say, well, it was supposed to have changed my life. Everybody thinks it changed my life, but I haven't really done that. Man, get past the pride and take care of it. Take care of it. It's very simple. Jesus died for your sin. Rose again the third day, living forever for you, that you and I might have eternal life. It's a gift that God has given to us. You say, all right, preacher, that's me. You're kind of boring me with this because I did that 50 years ago. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm so glad. But when's the last time you tried to give that gift to someone else? You see, we have a responsibility. We have a ministry like John had to tell others what Jesus did for us and in turn what Jesus did for them. Fulfill ye the work of the Lord. We'll have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. I ask this question. You may be here. You may have been here 100 times before, but you say, Pastor, that was me. I need that gift. I want that gift. The message that Jesus gave. Believe the gospel. You say, that's me. I need that. I want that. Would you just slip up your hand right where you're at this morning? Nobody's looking around. Don't want to embarrass you. I see that hand. Put them down. You say, I want that. Would you let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you know that you know? We'd love to help you with that. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I've done all that. I'm good there, preacher. Well, have you shared it with someone? Have you shared it? It's a message that gave you hope, that gave you peace. Don't you want to share that with someone else? Won't you do it? Our Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you would meet our needs. Father, for those that raise their hand saying, I want that, may they accept your gift. May they take it. Father, for others that are here, that have accepted it, that have taken it, may we each one recognize our responsibility of ministry to share that message that Jesus gave, that others might believe the gospel. Help us to follow after you and your word, that we might become fishers of men, but only as we follow you. Help us this day. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And amen. As the piano is playing, you're standing with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. Glory of Jesus. Don's going to sing that first verse. If you need to come this morning, I invite you. You come.